Morning in warm ways.
I'll go first. You ready? Short and sweet one today. You ready?
Don't ever come to work without trying again.
What have I done? I'm just saying short and sweet. We've got an opportunity
Hey,
here to have a
hey,
short
hey,
podcast with
hey.
no bullshit and bollocks in it. Just having get through the questions. Last week's was 50 minutes. So we can reward people by only listening to us for about 15 today.
Yeah,
I mean, so let's not mess about. I'll ask the first question, you answer
I
it, and go from there.
know.
How you sound like a dog when you do that. Do
Go.
it again. How to overcome objections of I need to speak to my partner first.
Go. Was expecting a different one. With any objections, it's a problem that I've come across. So, a couple of different things. I would say the first thing is make sure that when you're prescribing the program, the offer, is that you're summarizing it back to them and you're asking them if you've missed anything. Clear, the specific reason why I say that is because to make sure that they understand what you've just gone through, how it lends itself to their goals, so forth and so forth. But whether it is I need to speak to a part my partner, whether it is I need to go away and think about it, whether it is I don't think a lot of time, whatever it is, that's a problem they've come up with. It's a challenge and a barrier they've come up with. So the first thing is explore it. So put it back on them, in regards to not being direct and forceful and what's the word I'm looking for? Challenging, but in a curiosity-based way. So it might sound like, okay, I completely understand. You've got to empathize with them first. I completely understand you need that support network at home. Is there anything specific that I can help you with, or is there anything specific you'd like to talk about on how that might impact things going forward for you? And again, it's just an open question to explore that challenge. Can I help you with anything with that? Even to the point where it might be, and if they say, I'm not really sure. Okay, would you like me to suggest a couple of options for you to have a look at? And if so, you're inviting them, you're asking them for suggestions, you're not throwing things at them. One of those might be to get their partner on a call with you to explain how that is going to help them and how it can work together. But with any objection, you've got to explore it because it's a challenge. And your job at that point is to help them overcome that challenge or see past that challenge. There's no different if someone was feeling challenged by not being able to get to the gym or not being able to track their nutrition or whatever it may be. It's a challenge. So approach it in that way where you can be intrigued and curious about that, and then help them overcome it. That's the key thing about objections. You could be very challenging or you can be very defensive on that point, but it's just being curious about that situation and why that's a hang up for them. Anything you'd add?
No, not to that. No.
Why not?
So you've addressed it. I'm not in the camp of ever convincing someone into the business. So, for me, it's a decent level of feedback on also that they may not be at that point of ready to buy, and that's good feedback. Okay, so how can I work with them until they are? And some people will sit there and go, yeah, but how much do you give them for free and stuff like that? I'm not saying that. It's just more so like it gives me feedback on my marketing of what I potentially need to do more and stuff. So, yeah, I'm just in the camp of not trying to convince someone. If that's where their head's at, great. I don't know what you said then. There's parts of it I listened to and there's parts I switched off, but you could always ask the influence of what people will want for you. Like, what will your partner want for you? In that scenario, I don't know. Did you cover that? Yeah. So, kind of like, I suppose asking the question of going, okay, if you did get to X, and it made you feel this way and that way, how do you think, what do you think your partner would say or feel or think about that? And normally the response is really positive, this, this, and this. And then you could say, who else could benefit from that change? And probably the partner comes in and all of that. So it's all positive around the partner influence. But so that's a side that you could do, but there is an element of convincing there, in my opinion. So there's my thoughts, Nick. All right.
Why is the book Atomic Habits an overrated book?
I stand on record and said it's overrated. And it's just a personal opinion. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old and miserable, Nick. Like, do you know what I mean? Like you. Say again.
I'm not miserable today.
No. You are. You've trained.
You are. No, I haven't actually.
Aren't you? Right. So I think that I was underwhelmed by the book. And bear in mind, I read it about 5 years ago. So maybe if I read it again, I'd feel differently. I was underwhelmed by it because there was a lot in there that I think related to just common sense, personally, which was like being 1% better every day and focusing on the process and habit stacking and stuff like that. And maybe I've just heard that maybe from my background or people around me or sport. It's quite common in sport, that type of terminology and language and stuff. And I think, don't get me wrong, there is some really good level, like different analogies in the book. Like I think the plane one is a really good analogy of if the plane was flying from X place to X place and moves 3.5 degrees, they'll land in a different destination. And they're relating that to one habit and being doing that habit 1% every single day, more than you were previously, will land you in a different destination and clear and nearer to your outcome. So I think there's some good stuff. Don't get me wrong, I'm not slating it. I just wasn't as, I remember when it first came out and everyone read it and they were like, wow, this is life-changing. I'm like, really? It's 1% better every day? Habit stacking. Like, I just thought that. And there is some good stuff in there. Like, do you know, in your presentation in the conference where you did the Simon Sinek thing, there's a part of that book that is on, I think it's outcome process. And I might have butchered this, but identify or identity or something. And that helps you build an understanding of the habit and the behavior that you need to move forward. That's good. But I thought the rest of the book was a bit overrated personally. I feel like I've given myself justice there and a good review. What do you think, Nick? Have you read that book? What do you think of it?
I think that you can definitely come out with that. If you're interested in the subject, like you said, there won't be many things new in there. You can come away with it with more reassurance of what to do in regards to helping clients and yourself, like, change habits. But I think when we read those types of books and there's a lot of hype behind them, you think that you're going to come across them. So it's probably expectation versus
quality.
But also I think that, you know, there's a big difference between reading and applying, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think that's the difference. I feel like I need to apply something. I've read books before that people have clearly thought were piss poor, and like where a lot of PTs haven't got, like, oh, fuck it, let's talk about it. Like, I thought Ignite the Fire was pretty average and everyone used to rave over it, didn't they? As a PT book.
Yeah.
That was like some of the bare most, like, anyway, just basic and stuff that I thought the industry had learned years ago and stuff like that. Whereas I thought that Change Maker was really good by that. Is it Berardi? Or I can't remember. I thought that was really good. I read that at the start of lockdown. And I thought that was really good for PTs to understand behavior change a little bit more, and all of that type of stuff. So whereas other people thought Atomic Habit was better than that. So I think it's just expectations and your experience and biases and all of that. But yeah, I wasn't blown away by Atomic Habit like the industry seems to have done, have been in the past. But yeah, that's my opinion, Nick. I'm going to defend it. All right. Next question. Preparing for peak. It's a good question, this. Should you avoid doing too much marketing? Example, doing too many things at once and confusing people. Or is it good to have a range of free stuff / lead magnets / workshops, etc.? I understand that it's good to drive attention and build awareness during those months, but how much is too much? How would you find a good split? Thanks.
Can you do too much marketing? No. Can you ask for people to do too many things? Yes. I think that's what you were getting at there. So I'm more so in the camp of focusing on one thing for a lot of trainers. I'm not saying that you can't focus and try and sell, whether it's a lead magnet or a service, at the same time. But where I do think a lot of trainers struggle with is being able to have the level of engagement that will give you a good return on selling two things at once. So for me, I think we've seen like big differences when we help coaches scale back the amount of stuff they're promoting and asking people to do and focusing on one thing. It helps the coach with their clarity. It helps the message on social on the gym floor. It helps the awareness and what content to put out. So in my opinion, I think you can't do too much awareness, but you can definitely, in my opinion, for most coaches, ask people to do lots of different things at different points. Now, there's obviously, I guess, caveats around that. Like, you could ask your mailing list to do one thing and ask your members on the gym floor to do another thing, right? Because there's no conflicting message that crosses over there, unless they're on your mailing list, for example. But I still don't think that be too much of an issue. And you could have you could be selling on social media, and you could be generating leads on a lead magnet through a workshop on the gym floor, right? So there is that side of things. But I think generally, from a marketing sense and awareness, if you have one thing to just go all in on, usually for the vast majority of trainers, it yields better results versus trying to split your attention on many things.
No, that's good. That's good. I'll let you have that one.
How to keep groups, leads, community interacting and staying in touch over the Christmas period?
I think the first point is that I would probably ask them now what they would like to do over that time and get some feedback. So maybe do a little mini survey or some polls and just come up with some ideas. And that might be really honest, like conscious that I'm off for X amount of time over Christmas, but what I don't want to do is not feel like you haven't got anything to tap into to support you. So whilst I'm away or over that period of time, what would help from the below? And maybe list some stuff with a bit of context. But from past experience, a little accountability challenge over this time of year really goes a long way. Even if that is steps or visits to the gym. Or home workouts or whatever it is, it really does go a long way. Like, I used to run a group program, and over this time of year, I remember the accountability in the group was a little bit higher because people are a little bit more self-aware, aren't they, of going, oh shit, I don't want to wreck my progress, in their words. So the accountability, whilst I was off for that week or so, the accountability within that group was much higher because the women that were in that group who I worked with at that point were literally all over it because it was a step challenge. And it kept it simple and all of that type of stuff. So yeah, I think first of all, ask them. And second of all, don't shy away from a basic accountability challenge. But if you've asked them, then they'll be able to give you the feedback on it as well. So I think they're just two simple ways to kind of go about it, to keep things ticking over. Anything you'd add?
No, not really. No.
Well, that's that then, isn't it?
Well, that's that. 16 minutes, 15 seconds, 51
brilliant. Seconds. Brilliant. See? Good. I like that. Long one last week, short one this week. Like it. Good variety. No shit chat from you. You've kept it simple. Answered the questions.
Shut your face.
All right, people, have a fantastic day, everyone. Have a fantastic day. You enjoy yourselves out there. All right. Bye, Nick.
Bye, Anne.